Welcome to the first episode of the Wolkenkicken podcast. Wolkenkicken is a tongue breaker, but it's actually just the German word for cloud gazing. And for us, it means that you spend time without actually putting an effort into producing something usable. It's creative time. It's time you spend with friends, with other creative people, just people getting together without specific intent. And that is so healing. We love to do that with our friends, with people that we meet, just to be together and maybe get to know each other, maybe just do nothing, maybe don't even talk too much. But in the case of the Wolkenkicken podcast, obviously we did talk. And those conversations turned out to be so interesting that we thought, oh, we really should record this because we were meeting some really interesting people, something that we thought was really meaningful, and we recorded those conversations. At the same time, I must apologize a little bit for the technical equipment that we used. We just put a phone in the middle of the table so the conversation could be recorded. So the quality might not be as professional as you would normally expect from a podcast, but we think it's still worth listening because what was said was really inspiring for us listening. And maybe it will inspire you too. Our first guest was Harry Perry. He is someone that you might know from Venice Beach because he's kind of a well-known person in the art scene. And he came to our house to get some new clothes made by Sunny because that's what she does. She's a clothing designer, a costume designer. She used to work in the film industry. And now she loves to dress people in her designs. So Harry was very welcome to get some new clothes and have an interesting conversation with us. It was the first conversation that we recorded this way. I was still a little bit shy, so you won't hear me as much in the conversation as you hear me now. And so, without further ado, let's listen to Sunny and Harry talk about Harry's life, Venice, LA, and the artist scene.
You've built up your career for how many years?
Well, when I first came, I had just finished being a 19 to 21 year old with a job I got a job in a play, Hair.
Okay.
And that was like for me to be 19 and have a check coming in all the time. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. And we had one day off every week. Monday was dark. You know, and I could just get on a plane and go fly someplace and fly back for rehearsals on Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon, leave on Sunday. But the thing is, like, that's when the experience began that in entertainment, it's not like a corporate job where you're going to sit and work until you get retirement. You know, and 25 years later, get a pension. It's just the show comes to an end. And then maybe you get to be on the bus and truck. That comes to an end, you know. And then what? And then what is like, was like, well, let's go to LA because all of Motown music and all my friends who were Detroit entertainers that were successful.
They came to LA?
Yeah, they came out here. And so I came out also. And my first experience wasn't really the one that I had expected, which was I wanted to go to Hollywood. But the recording studio was in Pasadena.
Okay.
So that's what I came to do, was to record.
You came as a musician?
Basically, an entertainer, we'll put it that way. Because a musician means that you spent time schooling and playing an instrument and being... My instrument was being the singer and the front man, the entertainer. Mm-hmm. And so other people were actually putting their energy into creating the music. Mm-hmm. And then I would create the lyrics and the voice with some of the other people. Back then, editing nowadays, it's like Pro Tools and all the, that didn't exist. There was no such thing. Mm-hmm. There were big tape machines and expensive boards, Neve board and all the stuff. And you would record, and then you had to like do a perfect take now. Because the way that they would edit is with a razor blade. Mm-hmm. They would cut the tape and put it together to make their things come together.
Yeah, time has changed.
Yeah, there's no more editing with a razor blade now. But I remember I came to Pasadena, and they would just let me stay in the studio, mm-hmm. sort of like live in the studio, but I was in Pasadena. Mm. But the thing about Pasadena is I went out to Dargan's house. He's one of the owners that used to own the studio. And I was just so amazed that food just grew on trees. I mean, there were apple orchards back in the Midwest. But here there was like figs. I'd never seen a fig grow from a tree and had a chance to eat something that sweet. Avocados. Mm. There's no avocado in Detroit hanging from a tree, you know? But there it was, oranges and avocados and figs. And so that was my first experience of just being able to pull food off of a tree other than an apple. Mm-hmm. But I was still compelled to come down to Hollywood. The thing about Hollywood, though, is Hollywood Boulevard was, they didn't have the smog laws like they have now, where the laws would like make the air so that you could actually breathe, you know? And the buses on Hollywood Boulevard and the cars would just spew this black smoke, and there was just no air. And so, but I still managed to, for only $80 a month, find a place to live on my own in Hollywood. Because it was still Hollywood, I was just like, wow, look, I'm in Hollywood on Hollywood Boulevard.
I used to live there in the very beginning. I was on Cherokee.
Cherokee, that's where I lived.
Oh, really?
on Cherokee at...
And Franklin was my cross street.
Yeah, no, I wasn't up that far up. I was down in the city. But the post office was right there. Uh-huh. But... Anyway,
wow. And then
there was still the thing that, okay, it was 80, you had to come up with the $80, mm-hmm. and you had to come up with food. And so even at that level, but you could actually accomplish it is what my point was. $80 a month is a lot different. Even $800 is a lot different than $2,000.
Yeah.
It's very different. $1,500, that's almost $2,000. Yeah. Plus your utilities. It's like to come up with $2,000 every month and transportation. I had to get back out to Pasadena. There's the bus. That's how I got out there at first, until a friend of mine from Detroit gave me her used car. Mm-hmm. But so then I had a car, and I had an apartment. And then I got another apartment, and I had my girlfriend come out here, but there's many, many stories. You can, of course, anyone's life has multiple days, multiple stories as time goes on. The whole concept of what do you need money for? You have to have money. I hear people say, well, you know, all you think about is money, you know. Is that what it's about? I try to explain that it isn't about money. All these things, just to live each day, food, someplace, it costs money. A lot of my friends got on the school program and they stuck themselves with jobs where they literally were in cubicles. Mm-hmm. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. They lived in a little cubicle. To this day, I see guys who work at Google and they make lots of money, they drive an expensive car. But the thing is, they have to come in, especially now that COVID is over, and if it's not 3 days a week, it's 5 days a week. For a lot of money, some of them, and sit in the cubicle. They have to be in that cubicle.
It's a choice, right?
So what do you want from your life? Mm-hmm. You want money? You have to have money. Do you want to sit in the cubicle? Or do you want to skate and sing songs and manifest your income through some bohemian way? Mm. So I chose the bohemian way, even though it wasn't a certain income. And so that's where I still am. And that's one of the reasons I'm here today, because the bohemian way, even back then, requires a headshot.
That's what we're going for.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's also about having a choice. So you chose to be an artist and to live the way you live, kind of, and avoid the cubicle life.
Now this is a difference. I remember there was still this thing where phones were like landlines. And you had this apartment, and during certain hours, you had to be available by the phone, you know, one way or another. And this was like a life-changing thing. My agent got me on the phone and said, get to my office right away. You have to get over to my office. I have a pager for you.
No pager.
So now this thing could go beep beep, and you could run for a dime in the payphone and call right. And see where your auditions were, based on your headshot.
Pagers. Yes. But then, what made you go to Venice Beach? Like, so when you started going down there,
we were playing in Hollywood, and there's this club in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. A bar where that's to this day, that's where rock and rollers go at night. It's the Rainbow.
Okay.
And so like 50 years ago, everyone was going to the Rainbow, and we'd hang out there until the middle of the night, and Lemmy would hang out there from Motorhead, and the Stones, all the great artists would come to the Rainbow, especially the Englishmen. Huh. I can't say all the great artists. A lot of them weren't Englishmen, and they aren't going to come. Rock and roll was like a certain group of people, most of them English. So if you wanted to play in a band, you had to like get to know the Englishmen, because they had the bands and the corporations that would make the big plastic disc and distribute them everywhere. And so there they were, just all sitting, you know, right there at the Rainbow. So we were playing in the Rainbow parking lot, and the kid walks up to me. I've told the story many times. We were kids then, and he goes, come on, do we have to go to the beach? I said, no, dude, look, Pete Townsend just bought us drinks. We're at the Rainbow. I'm not going to the beach, you know? And then the Rainbow parking lot, it just goes on and on and on, you know, even after the club closed. And he comes to me again, and he's bugging me, let's go out to the beach. And I go, no, dude, there's dogs at the beach. I'm not going out there. There's dogs at the beach. He got me to get on the bus. We couldn't drive anywhere. Uh-huh. We'd been at the Rainbow. So he had to take the bus. He got me to get on the bus. And we got down here. I was just amazed at how many people were really, he was right. It was like loaded with people at the beach. And so we started playing, and he kept going to the booze store. We had vinyl 45s. That t-shirt that I sell right now, it's a picture of me with that look, with the vinyl 45s and everything. And he kept running to Davy Jones, the liquor locker, and spending money, but just drinking and drinking. I said, look, dude, we're gonna be drinking at the Rainbow, just like chill on the drinking. I was at his house the next day, pounding on the door. Come on, dude, get up. We're going back to the beach. The second day, I came to the beach by myself because he'd been just drinking all day. He couldn't get up. Well, see, you could have an apartment then. But to put it in perspective, my girlfriend, when she came here and she joined us, she worked the entire week at Macy's. And I'm talking about hard work on her feet, you know, as a sales girl with commissions. She made $110. She thought she had a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. What can you do now with $110 a week? Mm-hmm. Buy lattes.
Mm-hmm. Buy lattes. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Can buy lattes. And
wow. Yeah. So then, and then you started.
And not the bread to go with it.
No. Yeah, but that means, and from then on you were going to the beach to play music.
Oh, yeah, that was my daily thing, was to go back to the beach and wait till the pager rang.
Makes sense.
The pager rang, I'd go to the payphone and call up and get my appointment for the next day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds like... So
the appointment in Hollywood.
Two ways to earn money, you know, that's
good. Well, just to entertain, you have to be, I started doing dance, I took ballet with many different great dancers. It used to be different, there used to be, you know, phenomenal people would have their dance systems, and people would come from all over.
The Debbie just to, Allen dance
just to take their just to take their class to get their system, because if they were going to cast one of the big shows, you had to know their system in order to get through the audition. Mm-hmm. And Variety put up the casting calls for the dancers, and so that was another thing. You could sing, you can dance, you could be a background singer, you could be a dancer, you know, on the television shows, or you can get some kind of a commercial, but all those things, you know, you have to be multifaceted. Get an acting job, being some kind of a criminal or whatever. For me, it was just like the, you know, the roster rapes the white woman sort of. That's the kind of part I had to go for, but that was what was available at the time. So I just did, you know, whatever the call was, I would try to get the part. And to this day, if you don't really have to like show up anymore until the very last call, but now that you have to be able to self-tape with your cell phone, and if you get past the they choose your picture and you do a self-tape, then it'll be like the next step is, I think it's called an EcoCast, where the producer and a bunch of people you'll have your phone set up and you'll do a live interview with them over your phone. Mm-hmm. You need a real
good
phone.
So you don't have to go there anymore.
Well, you have to go there eventually.
Eventually, if you're lucky, yes.
You hope you get to go there.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's a lot different than back in the days. Yeah.
Other than that, back originally, you get the call and then you have to go sit in an office and be a room full of people that look like you. And you had to like get the sides and be ready to show them your abilities right now in person.
And you said earlier that it's kind of is your curse too, that you have your personality from Venice Beach and you have that character.
Well, that's just because I'm there so much. I said it's a curse because now, even though I don't feel like wearing skates all day and all night, they've like put me in so many films and so many things that all day long, if I'm not wearing skates, doesn't matter if it's 11 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night, where are your skates?
Yes.
It's like almost a curse. Mm-hmm. How come you're not wearing your skates, dude? Where are your skates? I didn't feel like wearing them right this minute, you know. Why I have to wear them for you? Are you casting me or what is it? You know, but I mean, it's not even worth wasting your breath. I go into my thing. I'm selling a T-shirt because that's how I'm going to make money. The person, it's like opens the door. They want to know where the skates are. So I start to sell the t-shirt.
Yes.
Psychedelic mosaic. Mm. It's a silkscreen print of a 6-foot oil painting done with little brushes on canvas by Hersiak. Mm. The drunken surfer painter, he used to drag down life-size canvases down to the beach, set them up, go surfing, start drinking and paint all day. I had the privilege of skating by my image being created on a life-size canvas right here on the oceanfront walk. Mm-hmm. I talked with him for a couple years and finally he let me use it on a t-shirt. So here it is.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Where are your skates?
You need one.
Where are your skates? Yeah. That's where they are. Buy it from me. Take a copy home with you. Yeah. This is my new version with the skates.
I know.
The 1979 Smithsonian magazine picture. That's what I'm selling right now. Mm. 1970, the very first music video ever made with Michael Nesmith from the Monkees. Look, I've got the skates, the Les Paul guitar, which I won't even bring out into the sunlight anymore. The flowing yoga turban. Buy this from me now for the memory. 1979, that was the look. Elephant parts, that's what Michael Nesmith called his video. And Sunset Sam, the muscle man.
Why do you love making art? There must be, we talked about the struggle and so on, but there's something that must drive you, right?
My culture when I was a teenager was playing in bands and playing in clubs. And where I was in Detroit, there was Motown and there was like, you know, little rock clubs that you could play. And everyone whose parents could afford to buy him a Marshall Stack and a Les Paul were out there trying to form a band and, you know, play with the MC5 at the Grandy Ballroom, you know, mm-hmm. with Cream or one of those bands coming over from England, mm-hmm. Arthur Lee and, you know, whoever, doesn't matter. You wanted to get on stage before the MC5. Kick out the jams, brothers and sisters. Yeah, Motor City 5, that was like the one of the killer bands. But anyway, that was my culture. That was the driving force, was to play your guitar and sing, or play your bass and drums or whatever, form a band and get on stage and get the people screaming and dancing. Mm-hmm. Along with your song. And so coming here, that's what I'm bringing, that's what I brought. One of my first things was to be on stage in Hair. It was a stage play, mm-hmm. anti-war stage play. And so I bring that whole sentiment mm-hmm. with you into the, you know, the corporate fray of plastic distribution of your music. So now it's just become a download, unfortunately, you know, that sort of killed the business in a way. But And still you wanted to share with, 10,000 kids. Kick out the jams, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
We're going to fight for the right to party.
You had some good advice for Singa. I remember, you know, being a young artist and also not being used to anything else but Spotify and, you know, kind of seeing how many streams it takes to even get you a dollar. You know, it's just so crazy.
Yeah, who knows? It's still, you want to form a band and play somewhere. Yeah. I see bands just come to the beach now.
Yeah, whole bands.
Yeah, I see bands that try to play the clubs. Mm-hmm. A lot of the clubs have become pay to play, but I say, just rent the whole club, get a different club, rent the whole club and sell tickets mm-hmm. online. You know, there's always a way.
Yeah, you need a certain amount of.
There's some bands that you know their names, mm-hmm. but they never played stadiums. They, like the Ramones, I don't think that they ever played stadiums. They played just gigs for the kids that followed them. Mm-hmm. You know, their records are still, you know, revered by different people, but I don't think Freddie Mercury, what's his band?
Queen.
Yeah, I don't think they ever really toured. It's just that I think some movie chose one of their songs, and that's why everyone knows them. But while he was alive, they didn't very many tours. Mm-hmm. Even though they're a really big band, mm-hmm. they're just big because some corporation in a movie put one of their songs out.
You have your own band, right? You have.
Right now, the band is struggling. Mm. I need to fix the truck. Mm-hmm. I need to rent us another rehearsal place. I need to sell the house that's dragging me down.
Mm-hmm. The bread
maker. didn't think of that one.
But like I said, you know, there's always problems. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have a band. You have a band, but we're not playing at Coachella this week. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we would be able to. Mm-hmm. So it's a challenge. There's like no definite. And once there is, there's no guarantee that it's gonna like last as long as you think it should. Like I hung out on stage with System of a Down. Mm-hmm. But then after that tour, they really didn't play together for almost 20 years, 18 years. I just saw Shavo. And like, that's one of the most revered heavy metal band ever, System of a Down. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty incredible that a band that you know that you can say their name actually has a tour year after year. They don't. You get to play, and for one reason or another, they get blown up for a while. And so maybe you get some kind of award. You hope that you can play together. You hope the members of your band can get along together. It's amazing to me the way the Grateful Dead and Fish, their members, maybe they broke up for a while, but then one way or another, they get back together and do another tour. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they will, for sure. There were years when the Grateful Dead didn't tour. And then they did further shows. So there's just no guarantee, just because you hear a band's name, that the band is gonna be together, the members will get along, the management will function, and you'll be able to play. Yes. You know. This hopefully there's a dream world like that for you. But the people sort of think like that that's what's happening with bands because they know the band's name.
Yeah, and they take it for granted in a way, right?
So yeah.
You think it's been like this.
Band members don't always get along, and sometimes for years they don't tour.
Yeah, totally. That's why you had that one-man show on Venice Beach, right? That's kind
of... Well, I know music. I can play that.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah.
I can play there or anywhere in the country where the weather is okay.
Yeah.
I'm not limited to Venice Beach. I can go to the parking lot of Fish. I can play... But that's real. It's like, you know, and sell shirts. Mm-hmm. Grateful Dead, if they're having a show, that's where I'm rushing off to when I leave here. I'm going to go. Fish has a residency, so I'm going to see if I can sell some shirts in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. So you're going to Vegas?
When I leave here, I'm going to pick up more shirts and go over there and try to see what I can do.
Oh, cool.
Let's
get to work.
Let's
get to work.
Something that you would love to share.
The only thing I can say, the thing that drives me is like writing the next song and singing it for people. When I realized that I could like write a song and then walk up to people and sing it for them, and that then I could sell them a 45 or something. All of a sudden, you know, that I have a record company for all. Here, I just did distribution and retail. You know? Point of sale. I didn't have to ask permission to have a living as an artist. Mm-hmm. I just walked up to people and sang the songs that I create.
So that was it. I hope you liked it and you will be curious to listen to more conversations that we recorded in our living room in LA. And certainly there is more to come in the future. Let us know your thoughts.